Welcome to the Royal Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rollison, also known as T-Roll. That's right, I'm back. After being a week away, I have returned, a glorious return to the Royal Geek Podcast. And you already know who I'm here with tonight. First of all, we have Justin Sandoval, a.k.a. Sandy. And we also have Anthony Amato, who we like to call Shimano. Boys, we're here to review some more X-Men 97. But before we get in the episode, how you guys doing?
Yeah, man, really good. It's been a nice week. I mean, nothing crazy going on, so gotta love that.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Just making it through. Just been nice.
Hey, we got a Deadpool and Wolverine trailer this week.
Oh yes, we did. We did.
That was pretty cool. It was a sick trailer too.
It was epic. It was. Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, a lot going on there.
Gosh, dude. Well, I mean, Wolverine looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So excited about that. Also excited to talk some X-Men tonight. This episode, I forget what number it is, but we know, is it seven?
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Is titled Bright Eyes. It's got to be referenced to Gambit, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Rogue calls him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heck of an episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're starting to heat up, man. These episodes are starting to heat up. After episode four, everything has gone completely up.
Yeah, It's I've enjoyed almost everything I've seen this season.
Yeah. There's only been one half of one episode where you're kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
And then the rest has been like just spot on.
Top tier.
Top solid. Tier. So before we get into it, just want to thank all of our listeners, everyone for tuning in. We appreciate you so much. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And please, please, please share this podcast with your friends. That helps us out tremendously. So with that in mind, here's your spoiler warning for Bright Eyes, what I believe to be episode 7.
Yes, it is.
It is for sure.
Confirmed. Yeah.
Okay, because the series is going to, or the season is going to end with a 3-episode arc. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and that's the next three.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sweet.
Which, by the way, one of the producers of the series just released on Twitter that get ready for the finale three-parter, he recommends watching season 4, episodes 1 and 2 of the original series.
Dude, we should watch it tonight.
Oh, we got so much to do tonight, but we'll see.
That's true.
We'll see. I'm down, though.
So. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know about that. Got a late start. Anyways, let's get into it. We start with the funeral, Gambit's funeral.
Oof, man.
Yeah.
That's just weighty. Solidifies it. That solidifies it right there, dude.
Yep.
It was definitely touching for sure. The scene that really drew me in on that was when Jean and Cyclops, like, they kind of like they held hands. Like, they have a lot of turmoil going on. Yeah. Right now,
yes.
But they were able to come together in that moment.
Yeah, they got a lot going on.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, Logan's standing right next to them, like, that whole thing.
I mean, they are the ultimate, like, love triangle. Like, it's always there. He's always just outside of their orbit. It's literally almost like, if Cyclops were to ever take a single step away, it would be enough for Logan to just, which we literally saw.
We did.
Yeah. What happens when he takes a step away from that situation? We saw what Jean Grey does. You know, as soon as he just is just a step outside the picture,
yep,
Logan's right there.
He's available and ready.
Yes.
But yeah, no, that was definitely a very sad scene. They announced, like, Rogue's not here. Like, how could she not show up? Like, this is she loved this guy, right? Yeah. And the transition was absolutely phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah. She essentially goes Ronin on, like,
she goes ham. Yeah. Absolutely goes ham. And she's hunting down
she's going berserk.
Trask.
Yes. Great.
And the scene where she's, like, invading this base is epic. Like,
yes.
Absolutely epic. She does her signature video game kick that she does in the actual X-Men video game. But she is, like, running through these military bases. And I love how they have the scene where the generals are inside being like, we can hold the Hulk.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, they literally have Ross.
Yeah, you know? And he's like, this is built to hold the Hulk. There's no way she's
getting
in.
Yeah, we had a few
here.
Cameos in this
there
episode,
was a few,
didn't we?
Yeah.
That's right. And she busts in there like it's nothing. Very fantastic. Very fantastic.
Yeah, dude. The way she's like slinging one tank into another tank. Well, it wasn't a tank, but whatever it was. It was a heck of an entrance, and she was just slaying, dude. Rogue. Gosh, man. We talked about this early in our reviews of the beginning of the season, but it's just like exactly what I said. It's like they made Rogue in live action movies like nothing like this.
Correct. Yeah.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
Yeah. Like I think it's also just like her personality was so different in the movies as well. Like she had no confidence in the movies. She had no presence. Whereas she has. Like even just like
she's average. She got it all.
Like if you were like just her personality was just so different. Like she didn't. I've always said she didn't even seem like she was the same character. It was completely different. But like when she was doing this, it also like in my head, I couldn't think in my back of my head. I was like, oh, like unfortunately, this is something that mutants cannot afford to do.
Yeah.
Like for the general mutant society, because. I think this is part of like what they're trying to show as well is like there's such this fine line that mutants have to walk that humans don't have to walk, in the sense of like, because a human can do a heinous act and you aren't like, oh, he did this because he's a human. He's obviously, because he's a human, all humans are like this.
Yeah.
Whereas mutants don't get that benefit of the doubt. Every mutant is a representation of their entire society.
Yes.
So when one mutant does something like this, all mutants do this in That's a way.
True. Well, and it's like, whether right or wrong, factually, mutants have abilities.
Yeah. Yes.
So when one does something bad, it makes the rest of the world say, almost have fear of what the whole mutant society could do.
Yeah.
Correct,
Versus one bad human, it's like, well, you know, the rest of humankind isn't just superpowered.
Right.
So it's like, yes, there is fears that there are other human, you know, bad guys, other humans who do bad things, excuse me. But it's not the similar kind of fear.
Right, correct.
When you think of like, okay, now that Genosha was attacked, what might the response look like?
Oof, that's right? A good point.
That's a scary thought if you are just like an average Joe American in your home mm-hmm. and you see this on the news. Again, I can only imagine if that was like the real world.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely things like you think okay, so what if you're just one of the random soldiers that's at those bases?
Yeah.
Like you signed up to serve for your country. You just happen to be defending this one. You're at this one location, and you just get lit up from your point of view.
For no reason,
you feel like you've done nothing wrong.
Correct.
You didn't provoke you in your mind. You weren't didn't provoke anything here.
Right.
Yeah. You were just literally assigned to this base, working your 9 to 5. And then you get lit up.
Yeah.
Like
you almost called in sick that day. You didn't. And now you're dead.
Yeah. And you're in the you find yourself in the war path of hey, one of the strongest mutants. Like it's wild, man.
It's what makes it so nuanced.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely, man. And then like she makes her rounds. Like she's going from like base to base, trying to find Trask.
Yeah.
And then eventually she finds
Bolivar?
Yeah, well, Bolivar Trask.
Bolivar Trask. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
Name. Yeah. It starts with a G.
Gerich
sounded
Henry Gerich like or something like that. Gintrich or whatever his name is.
People listening know not to come to us for names.
Right, correct. No.
Henry Gerich.
There you go. We were pretty right, actually. Yeah. And he says, he kind of points her in the right direction, but he's being guarded by like a secret, I don't know, government OZT. I didn't do any research on that.
Yeah,
so
I don't know anything about them either.
But it's a task force. Let's put it that way. Heavily armed task force. And he kind of points her in the right direction, and so to go to Madripoor, which
here we go.
Here's another reference, right?
Yeah.
We see in live action, obviously, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but we got she's going to Madripoor.
Yeah.
Let's change direction now because it does go back to the X-Men team, right, with Cyclops and all of them, and they're like kind of gearing up and. I believe Rogue makes contact with them, kind of pointing them in the direction. Or
I believe
they know to go to Madripoor. I know that. I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, but before she finds out about Madripoor, she's at a different base where she sees a totally other.
Oh,
big
yes.
cameo.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That was the next one. Yeah, you're right. Captain America.
Dude, when that shield comes in, I was like, not that I wasn't paying attention, but I was kind of casually watching and just like seeing. And then all of a sudden that shield goes in.
I saw the motorcycle first, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, I didn't see the motorcycle.
I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
And then the shield comes in. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was pretty sick.
And their confrontation, pretty wild because, like, I mean, obviously we're in a non-existent X-Men world in the MCU.
Yeah.
And so, like, Captain America, he's, like, up there. Like, he's one of the guys, right?
Yeah.
And Rogue is just, like, staring him down. They have each hand is on the shield, and they're having the conversation. And she tosses the shield like a toy.
The phrase that she uses when she tosses it, oh my, I loved it.
What did she say?
She basically says, she says, if you're not going to do anything, you're not going to need this.
Not going to be needing
essentially,
this.
But
what about Cap, man, and playing the neutral, like, it's not good for. I mean, he was the typical politician right there. He was like, I can't get involved. What would the optics look like? Like, that kind of thing.
He was forced to, man. Yeah. He had to.
I mean, did he, though? Like, do what's right. Like, he could have done what's right.
Well, I think he was trying to do... I think he was looking for...
When somebody does mass genocide, I don't think it's easy
Again, think of what Cap would say in the MCU. Do we trade lives for lives?
So he wants to capture Trask, but he does not want to... He doesn't want him to be dead.
He doesn't want to go on a murderous rampage.
Essentially, he wants to be police. He does, that's more of his personality.
Yeah, that's point. That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's totally within his worldview to be the way he was.
Yeah,
he looked good. He looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. It was cool. I mean, I was not expecting.
No, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting Ross.
We haven't seen other non-mutant like entities in this world.
This is it, right?
I don't think so. No,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So yeah, but
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I almost breezed right through that.
And I believe he was voiced by the same guy who voiced him in What If.
Is that right? That's cool. If so, that's awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Okay, so but anyways, we see Cap. That's when we learn about the OZT, and I think that's when we learn about the OZT. I don't know. When they started going down, I was like, wait a minute. Is this like, are they about to talk about Hydra right now? I really thought for a moment.
It did look like the Winter Soldier set up for
the doctor. What's his name? Why am I missing his name right now?
The right-hand man of Red Skull.
Zola.
There we go. Yes, Armin Zola.
Yeah.
Yes, but it looked very much like the facility that was
everything's out of date.
Yes.
That's true.
But yeah, we end up going to Madripoor, Justin. Yes. So I'll let you resume.
Yeah, okay. So we're back in there and the X-Men have rejoined with Rogue and Madripoor and they are just looking for Trask. That's their biggest thing. And I believe they notice like OZT, is that what they notice? Or I drew a blank there. They notice. You go ahead.
Well, the Trask has the room cleared out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a trap.
Yes.
And Trask is like meant to.
Oh yeah, the Diet Coke thing, and Morph gets the Diet Coke.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Morph once again just and the quick shot of them all cram the elevator, and Morph just sipping the Diet Soda. Yep. Amazing. But no, like all the bodyguards are like knocked out, and they're.
Typical setup. Yeah.
Okay, is Trask genuine when he is trying to kill himself?
I think yes.
I think so too.
Yes.
I think he doesn't necessarily know what he's about to become.
He knows that this stuff has been done to him.
But he might not know. He's probably thinking that if, just like Bruce Banner thought, if I put a bullet in my head, it'll end the Hulk. He's probably thinking if I take myself out, it'll end this Sentinel.
Yeah, I do think there was at least some genuine nature inside of him where he was like he saw that he had reached a point to where he should not be going any further in what he is doing, and he was like kind of like maybe I should be at the very least like turned in like something should be done with me, or maybe I should be dead or something along those lines. But yeah,
he's talking about like how he's like, I mean, he's made bad choices, that kind of thing. Like he is standing at the edge of a building, and he makes a proclamation, and then he like jumps, and then They catch him. Rogue catches him.
Yeah.
And this was just, I didn't see this coming at all. Because she catches him, and she's like.
She asks for help.
Yeah, correct.
And he says, I got nothing.
Yeah. Well, then we don't need you anymore.
No, she said, same, sugar. Just dropped him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even Morph was like, is this what we are now?
When Morph said that, I'm glad you brought that up. When Morph said that, I was like, we need a reality check here.
That's a hardcore moment.
Because Scott should have said that. Scott is the one who is notorious for...
He's a giant Boy Scout.
Yes, he is. Like, him and Captain America have a good time at the bar. Yeah. Like, that's what happens.
Oh, okay. Oh, except for that they would both have Shirley Temples.
But they have a very similar kind of outlook.
And the fact that Morph is the one that says that is it says a lot, because like Jean could have easily said that, but she's dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, so she kind of has her mind skewed. Obviously, Cyclops is dealing with the loss of his like son and humanity turning their back on him, that kind of stuff. But like Logan he's lived for way too long that he knows the nature of humans, and he's not going to be the one to jump in there and save the day.
Because I even think Logan said, when Morph said, is this who we are now? I think Logan said, she just did what we all wanted to do.
Yeah. All right. That's right. Correct. Yeah.
So it does have me thinking, though, like, what if they had taken him in, would he have still made that transition? Or was it his death that triggered?
He becomes a zombie sentinel.
The zombie sentinel.
Cool looking.
Sentinel.
Cool.
I'm almost mind like, did she create this evil that is like by like trigger it? You know.
I think at this point it's a matter of like a code word and he's activated, that kind of thing. So I think
actually,
either way,
I'm giving it thought actually, Amato, and that feels like something Mr. Sinister would do, to like have it be upon death. Where that's when
it's triggered.
Yeah.
Like it would also make sense just like storytelling wise, like in the sense of like her stepping over her boundaries is what, or what her boundaries should be, is what creates this evil. Like if they had just taken him in and, you know, put him in prison, he just would have been a regular dude, you know, like he would have been still Bolivar Trash, still a very evil man, but not necessarily this, you know...
Super Sentinel.
Yeah, this Super Sentinel. Because I don't think it was a trigger word, because, like... I mean, I'm...
I'm saying it could have been. That's the way he could have built...
Maybe there's a possibility of that, but I think, like, in this moment, it was, like, his death caused, literally by Rogue, triggered him to switch over, who, you know, she created her own destruction in a way.
And then he hits her with a mega punch. She went flying. Yeah. Dude, I mean, this this was crazy. Like, he's just wiping down.
His head turning around.
Oh, my gosh. It was creepy. You can hear the bones, like, cracking.
Yes.
I mean, it was freaky, dude. Did you guys see Morph turn into Quicksilver?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was cool.
So much so. So, like, they're in Madripoor, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, maybe anybody could pop up. So it's like, so much so, like, again, I was kind of not paying attention for a second. I was like, whoa. That's Quicksilver.
I
like.
I did a double take. Trust me.
I rewound it, and I was like, "Oh man, it's just Morph," which is still cool. Don't get me wrong, but I thought it was like another cameo. You know? But that was pretty sweet. But dude, how did they actually defeat? It was Cable.
Cable came. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the zombie sentinel was just zombie the Trask zombie sentinel. Super Sentinel.
Yes.
There's so many things I could call him.
Let's call Super Sentinel.
he was just wrecking them. Dude.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, every single one of them. And he kept saying neutralize. Yes. So you knew, like, they were getting back up.
That was phenomenal, like, just the way he said that. It does make me think, like, okay, so where does the MCU and X-Men 97 kind of come together, if at all? Like, with him knowing who Quicksilver is? Like, Morph knowing who Quicksilver is.
Yeah.
Like, where does it fall? Is this...
So much so to wear that exact uniform, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is this MCU Quicksilver, or is this just... Or is this X-Men Quicksilver?
It's got to be X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be X-Men, yeah.
Yeah.
So much so that he'd probably call him Quicksilver. That's my theory. But, that was wild. And then Cable shows up.
Yes.
And, you know... Cable, when we last saw him, he talked to Madeline. He talked to his actual mom, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is the first time he's interacted with
Gene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do they know? So has Cable been around in like, the other seasons?
He was in the other seasons.
Because
yeah.
like mm-hmm. Scott knows who he is, but he doesn't really know who he is.
Yes.
Right, correct. He knows who Cable is, yes.
He knows who Cable is. He doesn't know it's Nathan.
But it isn't until now that
he finds out that it's Nathan.
Yeah, that's got to be.
Oof. Yeah. Which it's funny because Gene addresses him and he's like, "You're not her."
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's tough.
That is,
yeah, that is a rough line to hear. Yeah. Although, I mean, I think it's probably rougher for Cyclops in this moment. Mm-hmm. Because although, like, Jean Grey, like, there's at least an acknowledgement to the fact that, oh, this isn't actually my child.
Right,
but there are some mixed, like, memories in there. But, like, the way he talks to, like, that's got to be heartbreaking for Cyclops in that moment. Because he does not talk to him like that's his father.
Yeah.
Like,
no. So is she, is Madeline, I guess she's missing one of the mutants
she's
who are missing.
She's missing, yeah. We don't have confirmation yet. Because they got all excited when they were rescuing people. And they had a telepath connection. And then it was Emma Frost, actually.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah, because they were hoping that it was going to be her. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Madeline. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Scott, when he reacted to it, it wasn't Madeline. Like,
yes.
He was crying. And it was so awkward with Gene being there,
yes,
too.
And that, like, on top of that, it was like it was like a knife in the side of Jean Grey as well.
Yeah. 'Cause
it was just another, like, it was another representation of, like, the way that he felt about Madeline Pryor. And Jean Grey was seeing it once again right in front of her.
Yeah.
It's like,
and plus you're a couple episodes removed from him having a psychic affair with
legitimately with it's literally like seeing your wife or husband or whatever, you know, you're seeing them interact with somebody without you being able to see them. It's like, it would be like if you could see somebody, your significant other flirting with someone, and it's like, but you know that they can't see you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's kind of how it was. Although she was literally right there.
Right. In, yeah.
Literally right there.
Yes. Yeah. Almost acted like she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense of, like, once he thought it was Madeline, it was almost like Jean Grey didn't exist anymore.
Right.
Like, I kind of feel like there was that moment.
Well, and then Scott realizes it's Nathan, and Cable's like, "I don't have time to go over this with your dad." Like,
yeah, another time.
Yeah, another time. Another time, which is crazy, because that's like, it's a pretty big deal, because the whole entire time Scott's dealing with, like, his son's abandoned, like, he's like doubting himself, all this kind of thing. And then just to realize that there he is, and he's been Cable this whole time.
It's such a fresh wound for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, because of the fact that, like, I mean,
or like a week
it's
out.
Been,
or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's literally only been it's been less than a month for sure.
Yeah.
You know, since he has done that. But I mean, I'm sure for Cable, it feels longer because he's essentially.
Of course. Absolutely.
I'm sure he was a relatively young person when Bishop, like, kind of laid out what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, even if you knew, like, why your parents did something like that, like, it's got to be tough to, like, forgive them in that moment.
So Cable's a pretty bitter guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's usually pretty moody,
Yes.
Like, as moody. As you see him in Deadpool 2,
that's
pretty much him.
Yeah. I mean, he's super, he's like that. He's essentially every, you know, post-apocalyptic person.
Yeah, correct.
You know?
Correct.
So, are we going to get... Are we gonna get Josh Brolin Cable in the MCU? Because if so, that would be freaky.
Yeah, it'd be awkward.
That'd be.
Would they call him a variant?
No.
It would be.
They look completely different. They do.
I know.
Yeah.
I was gonna be like, it would be interesting if someone were to, like, compare the voices and be like, "You sound familiar."
Yeah. Which,
but, like,
maybe Ryan Reynolds makes it a reference.
But the problem is, okay, so Ryan Reynolds wouldn't say that because he never had any interaction with Thanos.
But I believe he made a Thanos reference in Deadpool 2.
But
okay.
He said, "Okay,
Thanos." Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said something else, but it was good. It was a direct Thanos reference.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Let's back to this episode. Back to the zombie Trask super.
He gets blown up by Cable.
Yep.
Yes.
And, oof, man, this is where we kind of get, like, a reveal of, like, another, like, Sinister.
Like, Sinister's not the
one
pulling
all the strings. Pulling the strings.
Yeah, there's someone above him.
So Sinister's a pawn, which didn't expect that. Who is this guy?
Bastion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
He's in the X-Men comic books. The only thing that I know about him is that he is like a Thanos level threat as far as like abilities go. He's got almost every ability in the book, like telekinesis.
He just smothered that dude.
Oh yeah, yeah, Gentrick,
yes, Henry, mm-hmm. And called it.
Oh Magneto's yeah, alive. It's revealed that Magneto's alive. Yeah, and Bastion has him. And
he's got inhibitors on him too.
Correct. Yes, so he can't do anything about it. Bastion, which I mean, this is how you know Marvel's got pull, because like all the rest of the X-Men cast is like their voice actors from the original TV series, but Bastion is voiced by Theo James, which he's a pretty big actor. So he's in The Gentlemen currently on Netflix, which very solid show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I found interesting about that scene with him and Magneto was, I don't know why I found it so interesting, but the fact that like it was this power play of him using this hand razor, like to shave Magneto. Yeah.
Shave.
Like I felt like, because like we were so used to Magneto having so much control over metal, that the idea of putting a metal object anywhere near Magneto is like an insanity. But because he has his inhibitor on him, he's so like
he's helpless.
Yes, he's helpless. He's so helpless. He's so so much weaker. He's so much so much just not there. Like I just found it really interesting that he was using something like that there just to like emasculate him in a way.
And the crazy thing is that like he's doing his monologue. He's doing his villain monologue type deal, and he's like, well, there's this broadcast that I'm going to share with them and see how they feel with Charles Xavier.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
By the way, I wasn't here last week to talk about that. Mm-hmm. All the Charles Xavier stuff on this completely different planet on the other side of the universe, I was so helpless last week watching this by myself, not knowing any of these characters, not knowing any of the significance.
Yeah.
I was helpless.
Yeah.
Did you at least get that was Ron and the Accuser?
I did get that. Yes, that I caught. And you know they're fighting the Kree, but
yeah.
What's that planet called?
No idea.
Shira.
No idea.
Yeah, Shira. I think is what it is. But yeah, like I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. It's gonna be really interesting to see like what Magneto does in this moment. Like, is Magneto gonna like go along because he kind of has to, because he's kind of being controlled by Bastion in this moment? Is he going to choose to side up with Bastion, you know, willingly? Option C.
Sorry.
Option C there was going to be, is he going to side with Bastion because now he feels like he no longer has that obligation to Xavier, to Professor Xavier.
Or will he team up with Xavier? Like,
that's always a possibility. I think like the idea is like the more interesting one would be potentially him falling back into his old ways.
Totally.
For some reason or another,
he almost died because he showed in his mind weakness
by protecting others.
Yes, and just like in weakness in believing that humans can be trusted.
Yeah,
and now that Charles is back, it's like, I don't want these X-Men anyways. I'm going back to my.
I think he's. I don't see that happen. I think he is officially on the side of quote unquote good.
Yeah,
I think that he has built relationships with the
X-Men.
So
hopeful of you.
I mean, I just, he's such a cool character, man.
Doors open for Rogue.
That's right. Yeah, Rogue. Him and Rogue have no barriers.
Yep.
For sure. But yeah, it was a very interesting ending.
Yeah, it was. By the way, Nightcrawler, like, has been amazing.
Oh yeah,
his accent's good. Oh, yeah. And him wearing the priestly robes.
Yep.
And doing the funeral.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's legitimately a Catholic priest.
Yep.
Okay, well then that's never
mind.
But
it's completely appropriate for his like
just seeing it.
I didn't know that. It just looked like, hey, somebody's got to do this.
Yeah.
He's religious.
And some other like sub storylines where we have Beast and this reporter, like they kind of had like a weird little thing going.
A little zing.
Yeah, but then he was like, no, like they're humans. Like he was like bitter against humans.
People are getting the mutants are getting upset, man.
Yeah, they're getting upset. Yep. The tolerance is
you finally get a a country for your own, and then it's attacked.
Which OZT, that's what it stands for. Operation Zero Tolerance is what it's for.
Oh, yep. Shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
which Bastion is connected with, yes.
Yeah. And the other sub-storyline is, like, Roberto and Jubilee, like, he goes to reveal himself as a mutant.
His mom knows.
Mom knows. Yes. Mom already knows. Of mom course, of course knows. Mom knows.
But,
yeah.
Then, but then she's like, we just have to figure out how to keep hide this
it.
Private.
Yeah, which...
Jubilee's like, what?
Yeah. Huh? You can't accept him for who he is? What?
Yeah. We got stakeholders to think about.
Yeah, what's it going to look like? What's the optics? Like,
that's got to be a tough place to be, though, for a mom. Especially a rich mom.
Yeah, right. You could lose everything, right?
Especially in that in that world, in that climate,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
yeah.
everything going on with mutants. And
Where have we heard this narrative before? Like, I mean, it's out there. It's in the world. Like, this is like, these are things that people are dealing with daily. So,
like, if you're Russian or something?
I mean, who knows? Like, sexual orientation, that kind of stuff. It's race.
Sure. Really,
like,
really any sort of minority.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
For sure. That's definitely the... The parallel of the X-Men story.
Correct, yeah.
Again, it's phenomenal. I think it's great storytelling. And again, it creates such a complicated, nuanced world.
Yes, correct.
Where
yes.
it's not white and black. It is gray.
Yep.
Everything is gray.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's no clear-cut answer on how to... In my opinion,
it's all just a Jean Grey world, and we're living in it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on episode 7?
Good, man. I'm looking forward to this 3-part finale.
Yeah, this is a show because they're so short. Where I just kind of wish I could just binge it all.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But we can't. We're here to review it every week for you, monsters, who tune in every week to listen to us. For which we say thank you. I want to remind you to please share this podcast with any Marvel friends you have. If you got any X-Men friends, please share this podcast with them. Please subscribe wherever you listen, and be sure to come back next week for our review of the next episode. With all that in mind, from my good friends Sandy and Shimato, this is T-Roll saying thank you so much for listening to the Royal Geek Podcast. We will see you next time, you peasants.